Josh Felber. Welcome to Making Bank, where we uncover the strategies, the secrets of the top 1% so you can elevate your life and start creating your path to success today. How many of us out there have had something in our past, whether it's been a bad relationship, maybe bad parenting, abuse when we were a kid, neglect, whatever that may be, and have allowed our past to actually dictate our future? We're in the same position doing the same thing that had happened to us. Or how many of you out there have been able to move past the past and not let it dictate where you are, and it's led you to success, it's led you to creating, it's gave you huge opportunities to be able to go out, give back, and connect with people that have been in that same situation for you to elevate and raise their game as well. So many times I think we get confused and we start thinking, man, this bad thing has happened to me and I was in a bad relationship, and so now I'm going to be cautious and not want to get involved in another relationship, or and it may take years for you to get through that, or just whatever may have bad happened to us in our past, and it creates a path for us that we've grown up in instead of changing that. One of the things is we all have a choice in the moment. We have a choice on how we want to react. We have a choice on what direction and what path we want to go in our life. And we have a direction to letting go. Avoidance of reality is always going to cause problems in the future. And your joy and happiness today has nothing to do with your past. And I don't want you to get hung up in saying, oh, Josh, you're just discouraged or discounting what happened to me in the past. And I'm not saying that at all. We all have our own story. We've all been in a position where at one point we've had a rough patch in the past. But it's how we deal with it and how we move forward to the present. So we are being present in the present, as well as living our life and setting that up for the future as well. So who do you want to be now? What do you want to do with your life right now? And I get that question, or I get to talk to a lot of people and ask that question. And so many people are lost by asking that question. And it's they don't know, because they've been in such a position where they've been letting that past dictate how they live their life, that they don't know what their direction is now that they want to go. So let me give you a little idea. One of the things that you can do, say you're in a present situation, maybe just something bad's going on at your work or at your business, and you gotta allow yourself some time to stop and be in command. And what I mean by that is, if you're allowing your past to dictate how you're living your life and your future, you're not in command anymore. That still is. You need to reclaim and retake back and put yourself in command of your life now today. And one of the things we can do by doing that is utilizing a technique called self-talk, where this too shall pass, or I am okay with that. How do I want to practice this? Or things will always work out for me because I know I can make them work out. And by utilizing self-talk, that's going to allow us to be able to release some of that past and start living and being present today in reality. Because if you are living in your past, you are not living in the present. You are not present when you're around other people. You're not present around your family if you're letting your past dictate how you live now today. And you're doing a disservice to yourself and an injustice to them. Do you want to continue to head down that wrong path, or start today with making the choice to move past that, to move forward and start grabbing your life, what you're destined to be, the destiny of success for you, and really start to claim that and become who you truly are, who you are meant to be in life. And I want to challenge you that at some point in your life, if you've gone through a struggle, gone through a challenge, to stop and really take a look at it and see if you're allowing that to dictate how you're living your life, as well as continue to live that and dictate your future. And up next, I have a guest who is a former NFL player for the Redskins, as well as a business coach, a leadership, in a position of leadership to be able to help give back to youth. And he went through traumatic childhood, through foster care, through abuse, and multiple other things. But one of the things that clicked and changed for him is he did not let his past dictate how he's living his life. And he's gone on to become a huge success in everything he has done. And I'm excited up next to have Anthony Trucks on Making Bank. So stick around and we'll be right back. I am Josh Felber and you're watching Making Bank.
Hi, I'm cooking up a fresh batch of my Sun Up Before Sun Protector. Last year, my family headed off to the sunny beaches of Riviera Maya for a much needed vacation. But I knew I wouldn't enjoy myself if we were smothering our skin with ingredients that cause reproductive disorders, hormonal imbalances, even cancer. Kind of takes that feeling out of a beautiful day, right? Now you can make every beautiful day delicious to your skin by using Sun Up Before Sun Protector by Primal Life Organics.
I am Josh Felber. Welcome back. You're watching Making Bank, and I'm so excited today. We are here with an awesome friend and phenomenal entrepreneur, Anthony Trucks. And as Anthony was growing up, he heard, you're worthless, you're human garbage, you're destined to fail. And he grew up in the foster care system before he decided to be the exception to the rule. But he did this in an amazing way. He applied a unique set of skills that he learned throughout life to become what no one, not even himself at the time, could believe. Anthony went on to become a NFL player. He also created a world-class gym where he trained athletes every day, fitness enthusiasts, all the way up to professional athletes. He is a speaker, a best-selling author, and just great at sharing who he is and in good health with the world. He closed his gym to transition into personal development. Sorry, the part was cut off. Edit that a little bit. Personal development, where he specifically focused on entrepreneurs. And now he's an author, international speaker, six-figure consultant, philanthropist, and a father of three, just like myself.
There you go.
And so based on Anthony's beginnings, he beat the odds that so many people fall into. He is living an unexpected life, and he credits his and his client's success to be able to trust your hustle. So you can achieve your breakthroughs and progress in your life and business beyond belief and live an unexpected life. Anthony, welcome to Making Bank.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Cool, man. Well, dude, that was like a huge intro of who you are. Yeah. And so I'm excited to know a little bit more. You know, I'd like to dive into a little bit more details of, you know, your growing up, what were you thinking as a kid?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff
to really push you through that, man.
Yeah, I don't know if it was something as a kid I'm thinking of. It's more of the hindsight, I guess you can call it. But a lot of my childhood was just distraught, like very dramatic. It wasn't something where I might say beat the odds statistically.
Sure.
If you go to any prison in America, 75% of the inmates are former foster youth. And I think 2% ever graduate college. An even smaller percent of humans ever get to play in the NFL. So statistically, I'm like an oddity, I guess. I don't know if it's something where, you know, as a kid I had this mindset, but I think just for me it was like survival. I had to figure things out,
sure,
or I literally wouldn't survive. And so it was more of this this personality trait that I think was given to me from, you know, a higher power, that somehow in some weird roundabout way, I'm supposed to be doing something different than typically people in my position.
No, I think being that even survival, though, is like knowing you had that instinct in you to not fall prey or not fall to where that situation that you're in or those norms that, you know, people fall into. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even having the power and the energy and, you know, from a higher power or whatever, it works, you know, for you, you were able to take and apply to your life. And I mean, that taking that action, I mean, is just dramatic in itself to get you where you are today. So, you know, I guess, you know, you went to college then?
I didn't go to college. I went to University of Oregon. My life is it's weird. I found out through a weird roundabout way, it's a conversation I had, that I guess my life is kind of like a microcosm of the entrepreneur's journey. Like, the way that someone framed it for me one time was like, hey, you kind of been an entrepreneur since you were 3 years old. I was like, huh, like how does that make sense?
Yeah,
so I guess the way, like, there's three very definitive moments in my life that are like very powerful memories, if you can call it that. And the first one was like the memory. I can viscerally remember my mom giving me away. I remember where I was at the house, what she was wearing, like the layout of everything.
Wow.
And so I remember just the
feel. How old were you?
I was three.
Three years old. Okay.
Yeah. She, I remember giving my hand to someone I didn't know, crying, and then me getting, you know, pulled off to a car, black Crown Victoria, getting put in and then driving off. And it's like that moment of, you know, just like sorrow. Like, I don't know if sorrow at the time definitely was sorrow, like pain, but it's also like a feeling of like loss. Like I'm lost. I don't feel worthy. I have no tools for life, no techniques. I'm 3 years old. You know, I have no community now. So I'm just wandering around. It's like, I'm kind of on an island. Like, I'm just like lost. And I think that's the very first memory or experience that, you know, I had, but it also is a first experience for an entrepreneur in the journey. It's venturing off and it's being to the point where you almost feel unworthy. Like, you know, you don't know if your idea is good enough, or you feel like you're on an island. You have no community. You don't know what tools to use. You have no techniques. Like, you just know you have to, you're just there. You're just there.
Right.
It's like that your heart's pulled you to that place.
Sure.
And so, you know, that's the very first moment that I remember. And then through life, I mean, it's 8 years of just craziness. I was, you know, beaten and tortured and starved. A lot of crazy things that just were like real, like traumatized. It took a lot of years to get past a lot of it, honestly.
I wouldn't doubt, yeah.
And then at 14, I got adopted. And it was this moment where I had this, you know, this kind of pivotal time. I couldn't play sports. I'm a football guy. Like, you know, that's what I've done for so many years. But I couldn't play football. My biological mom wouldn't let me play. And it was because she had what's called parental rights. So she had control of me, even though I wasn't in the house.
Okay.
So finally, I severed her rights by going to court and having to speak out loud. I don't want her to be my mom. And I got to go and play football for the first time, which was a really like unique thing. It gave me for the first time in my life like a self-worth. I felt like I was worthy of something, you know.
Sure.
And at that same exact time, I had now my community, which is my family that adopted me. And so I kind of was pushing through, but I was having these moments of like just disparity. Like, I didn't feel good. I was more so, my adoptive mom got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I wasn't good at football. Like, I liked it, but it wasn't very good. And it kind of was a sucky time. So, but I had community in my family. I had the tools physically to play the game, had the technique from my coaches, but I was just missing something. And I remember I was chalking it all up. I was sitting in class one day. I sat in the back of my English class, Mr. Howell's class, and it was a back right desk, and next to it was a couch. And there's this girl sitting next to another girl on the couch, and I have this black jacket over my head, eating a bag of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, a baggie full. And I remember hearing this girl next to me say to another girl, well, the reason I'm so bad is because I'm in foster care. It was like, I was like, man, I can still feel it, like when I say it.
Sure.
Just the feeling was like, I don't ever want to sound like that. And I think that for me at that time in my life, I was about to chalk everything up because it was too hard. And I was going to basically say, well, you know, this is what my life's supposed to be because I was in foster care. And I remember going home that night, sitting in the corner of my bed, and I was just sitting there thinking like, I'm not going to be that guy. Like, I want to be great at something. I didn't know what it was. It was like, I'm not going to be that guy. And I think that was a pivotal point. And so what I found was I had the community, which is the people around. I had the tools. I had the technique, but I was missing a technician. And that's where a lot of entrepreneurs get to also, is they have this business. Like, you may have a business you either want to run, but somewhere along the lines, you have the community of people saying you can do it. You have all the tools in front of you. You know how to do the techniques, but you're missing a technician that has the gumption, the trust in self, the self-belief, like the drive, the intangibles to get it done. But if you lack that, you can't move forwards. Or if you're in your business and it's struggling, I find a lot of people like, I can't get a breakthrough. I don't know what's going on. I got a coach, I got a mentor, I got friends, but it's like, I can't get it. Sometimes it's the person behind the scenes who's applying those tools, those techniques, and basically like linking up with the community right. to get things done. And so when I worked on myself, went the next year, you know, that whole off season, I killed the weight room. I did push-ups. I was catching footballs every day because I wanted to work as a technician. And the next year I showed up and I was a monster when it came to football. I ended up getting a scholarship to go to the University of Oregon, played in the NFL, and then applied those same kind of tools when I got done to my gym that I ran for years, then becoming a consultant. I pushed into the biggest power company in the world, which is in California, called Pacific Gas and Electric.
Sure.
Yeah. And I just randomly, I was like, I want to go and do something. I want to go and consult. So out of thousands of trainers just in the area they could have chose, like I pushed through, I put a program in place. I went through probably like 20 different meetings with high level people that I was a nobody at the time, never consulted anything, you know,
sure.
but I ended up getting a contract for six figures and it's great. I've done a great job, but I enjoy doing it. So I found that like the ability to get that kind of thing done came from that sitting in that classroom with that girl, and it was all because I fixed the technician and I've been able to take that application and put it in my life in many ways. And then, you know, I had a lot of ups and downs in life. Life is what happens between your plans. So I had stuff where, you know, my ex-wife had an affair and like took me to a horrible low, like literally wanted to take my life one day. And
sure.
It's tough, you know, but I came out of it. And so I mean, the gym itself, like, don't get me wrong, my gym was up and down. There's times when I owed the landlord 16 grand. I had 4 grand. I had 2 weeks to pay or I'm going to get evicted, and I figure it out. So I've gone through the gamut as an entrepreneur, man. Nights, 4 in the morning, I have $23 in my bank account. I have 3 children. I have rent to pay. I have a business to run. Like, and I tore my Achilles at the same time, too. So I'm sitting, like, I can't even move. And it's like, you get this cold sweat. It's like, what do I do?
Yeah.
And so, like, I've been through that. And then as you know, life progressed through, I figured out ways to get past just by sheer grit and like personal tools I've found that I have. And then about a year and a half ago now, like that third memory that was really powerful for me, which I think is like the reason I'm doing what I do now, is my mom had multiple sclerosis. She was battling for years, and I was sitting in a room with her as I held her right hand and she took her last breath. And just knowing that she adopted this kid who was like bad. I was bad. Like I tried to be so bad that she would give me away. It was the weirdest thing, but she just loved me through it. And, like I said earlier, the percentage of people that have gone through like my situation, what they do, like the sheer statistics of me being me from NFL to college to like being in foster care, not being in prison, are just slim. And I almost statistically shouldn't exist, but I do because of the impact she had on me. And I found that like that's what I'm supposed to do. So I closed my gym because I'm supposed to have a bigger impact. Like she did these things and I was given these personal tools to have a bigger impact. And I found that for me, that's also where the entrepreneur is at. The true entrepreneur, it's like you're here for an impact. So it's like she impacted me and like, I want to impact others and I want to impact others who can impact others, if that makes sense. So the whole concept of what like people want to do in this world is like, I don't want to just make a living. Like if you're an entrepreneur, you don't want to just make a living.
Right.
You want to make an impact. And I believe that's what I'm supposed to do, is go in and teach people to make an impact by making an impact. And that's kind of how my life has been kind of just brewing for years, to where I've not only had this be my life, but like that's what I've done, has been an entrepreneur, and I'm still doing it. I've never had a real job, you know, like it's the NFL, but the NFL's not a real job. You're pretty much out on your own. So that's kind of been my life's journey in a kind of a really small nutshell. But at the end of the day, it's like, I just want to leave an impact. I don't want to make a living, if that makes sense.
No, definitely. And you know, I'd like to come right back to that here right after our break. Can you stick around?
Oh yeah, definitely. Count me
in. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank, and we'll be right back. I am Josh Felber. Welcome back. You're watching Making Bank. And we've had the honor to speak with Anthony Trucks, who has given us a little background on his life story of the challenges and situations that he's overcome that has helped shape and form who he is today, and how as entrepreneurs, those struggles and challenges that we go through, that and how we're able to relate to that and overcome those. And so welcome back, Anthony.
Thank you for having me.
Cool. So you kind of left off, and you know, you were giving us your 3 points of, you know, how your life has transformed, you know, through growing up and through your childhood, and you know how you've, you know, utilized those to be, you know, be in the NFL, yeah, as well as run a successful gym, and now where you are moving into serving as a higher, you know, as a higher level or a higher power of who you are and being able to share and make a greater impact in life.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are, moving, you know, what are some of the biggest things you're looking to make an impact with?
I think for me, it's really the looking back at the person I was that shifted when I was 15. I think for me, I find that a lot of people that I consult and work with in the entrepreneurial space, whether it's them just starting out or currently in something, it's really trying to give them clarity. Like, trust your hustle is a phrase that really, it resonates with the entrepreneur, because you know what it means to hustle.
Oh yeah.
And you know what it means, like the trust. Like, there's those days you're like, God, I don't know if I can do this. Like, there's those dark moments in your brain. Like, is this for me? Should I get a safe job? You know, it's like, or should I even venture out and chase this? And so for me, it's like that trust of your hustle. You can't have anything of great worth, like, or, you know, worth to your life without hustling. Like, it's just not going to happen. No one's going to come up and say, here, Josh, here's a brand new car and a brand new business. Like, you know, yeah. So it's this thing where it's like, you got to hustle, but hustle doesn't simply mean spinning your wheels. It means being smart about how you hustle. It means being smart about what you're hustling with. And so that's going to be the intangible tools that you have. So it's, for me, the impact I want to have is not give everybody more tools and techniques. Here's how to podcast. Here's how to do Facebook marketing. But it's like, here's how to be the person so that when you want to market something, you want to film a video and put it on Facebook, the video's done well because you're safe in terms of who you are. Like, you're sound in terms of who you are also. So the video comes across smooth because you're confident. And then when you put a video out, it's going to be received well,
For sure.
And it can push out. So it's like those little things that people don't comprehend. So the impact I want to have is teach you how to be the best you behind the scenes as a person. How do you drop your ego? How do you communicate? How do you set boundaries? That's a big thing. People don't set boundaries, not only boundaries for bad things coming in, but boundaries in terms of what you will and won't accept, or
for
boundaries, you know, for time management. Like, all these things that, like, are really small, unique things that people don't comprehend are setting them apart from the greatness that you really could have. And so trust your hustle, as much as a statement, it's also like a process. I've created a process called See, Sacrifice, Sustain. And the C portion is a lot. Like, that's really being able to see yourself. Like, you ever seen Avatar?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I see you.
Yeah.
Like, people do not see themselves. So that's like the egoic wall, which I call everyone's greatest obstacle. It's like this wall that says, I'm good. I'm going to work on that. Like, I'm fine. Like, I'm a guy. I'm a man. I'm strong. Like,
yeah, right.
It's like, these alpha places put you into a role where you are hurting yourself from seeing. And if you can't see something, you can't fix it. You cannot fix what you don't focus on.
Right.
And so that's kind of where my impact is. Like, basically shifting and saying, how can I help you see the areas you need to work on? There's a lot of areas behind the scenes. As like the course I'm creating called Renew University, it's developed through 12 weeks of very, very fine-tuned structured work that I've, like, spent months researching and, like, countless sleepless nights just developing behind the scenes, so I can have these areas that people can see they need to work on. And then once you see, it's sacrifice. It's basically looking at the things that are uncomfortable. I think sacrifice really is uncomfort, really, if you think about it. Right. People say, oh, it's just, you know, sacrifice. It's not always a bad thing. Like, we're not sacrificing goats for, you know, a boot or whatever. Sacrifice is like uncomfort. And so what some people need to do is sacrifice their minimal work ethic. Some people need to sacrifice their ego. They need to sacrifice their comfort zone. That's a big one, is sacrifice your comfort zone. And so it's essentially saying, what actual, now that you see, what actual work will you do? Where will you sacrifice your comfort to get these things done? And then sustainability for me, in terms of, like, the entrepreneur base, it's a lot of people want a quick fix. What can I do now? Fix this thing and go. But I don't like working with people who are looking for a quick fix. I want people who are like, this is what I do. I am an entrepreneur. This is my business. This is my life. And those people, I want to give them sustainability for their life, for their lifestyle, for their kids, for their family. Like, I think for me, if I was to come in and say, there's a quick fix and move on, then I'm hurting them. So sustainability is, who's your community? Who do you keep around you? How do you get them around you? How do you cut off bad people, put new people in? What practices do you operate with every single day? You know, where's your moral base, your ethic base? Where's your time management base? Like, how is your life design? And so how do you not only get yourself to this place now, but how do you sustain that for the rest of your life and then go towards bigger levels? I think it becomes habitual. Like, how do you become habitually a great person?
Yeah, and you know, and that's powerful right there is – you know, I don't, so many people don't really even look to that point.
Yeah.
You know, they're just, you know, like, okay, I'm right here, but you know, how can I set myself up, start setting myself up for success, creating those habits, creating those, you know, opportunities in my life. And, you know, I think that, and that's, you know, really amazing with what you're creating and, you know, trying to give back and teach people is, you know, finding those different pieces of, you know, how they can start to position themselves to grow their business, grow their life, yeah, and also maintain and sustain, you know, as well. Because it's not just get there quick and then fall.
Yeah.
It's like we want to keep it going and keep it going. So
entire time, if you can.
And, dude, I saw your thing, Trust Your Hustle. I'm like, dang, he took my tagline.
Sorry about that.
So it's definitely a good one for sure. So tell me, man. So you got Trust Your Hustle. Yeah. You're a dad, you got three kids, you know, I think they're all right around my kids' age and fives and sevens. And
yeah, I got an 11-year-old and I have two twins that are six.
Great. Okay. Yeah. That's right. My boys are five. So, yeah. You know, and then, you know, your business and everything else, you know, how do you handle it all? How do you make it happen and create the time, man?
So this is actually some of the things I teach people. One of the big things is I have what's called golden time. Golden time is it's a process I put people through, and it's like really, I think a lot of people in the entrepreneur space, they'll say, you know, what's most important? I'll ask them, my family's most important, or this is most important. Usually it's family. Right. But then whenever you see their life and you make them look, when they can pull the ego back, they're working while they're with their kids. Or they're not putting the family first. They're not allocating time. Or they'll take a business call in the middle of dinner. And so for me, it's like, say, okay, we're going to set aside specific golden time. And golden time is paired in this kind of concept. If you are able to, in your golden time when you're at work, not get distracted, set the right boundaries, then you can allow yourself to, when you're with your family in that golden time, not let this trickle into this. And so for me, one of the big things I do is I teach people to set boundaries. And I have some amazing boundaries I set for myself, which is a process. I'll teach you it right now. Why not?
Yeah, definitely. So let's share.
So it's called bulletproof boundaries. And so
what
essentially bulletproof boundaries is this. And the concept is understanding what the boundaries are for. The first part of the boundary is to understand that you're going to have boundaries at multiple levels. So if you can protect your time when you're at work, you can then protect your time when you're at home. Because the reason you take a phone call at home or you do work at home is because when you were working, you weren't working.
Right.
You were just hanging out. And so the first level of it is you got to set a foundation, which is like the esoteric high level, which is if you look at the bigger picture, everything you do decision-wise is moving you closer or farther away from your goal. So you really write out like, what is the bigger reason why I'm doing everything? Like, what is the end result? And it could be as high as someday I want to be able to retire at 40 years old and hang with my family all day. Okay, cool. Every decision, is the breakfast you're eating today getting you closer or farther away from that? You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, definitely.
Sounds weird, but that's what it is. Now that you have this bigger foundation, this bigger idea, the next thing is to come down a level before that and say, okay, what are my parameters of what I am going to allow in my life or in this time frame to where I am getting myself moving in that direction? It's kind of like setting – it's like saying we're in a big dirt open space, right? And I need to get to that far side. Well, we're basically going to say, as opposed to wandering around the dirt all day to get to the far side, we're going to basically put cones out and this is our path. This is going to be, you know, like a road in the desert. So with this road in the desert, that's your parameters. And so essentially, if we were to put it around, let's say, work, for example. If my bigger picture is for work, I want to get this company to X amount so I can sit at home. The parameters of what I will allow and won't allow are going to be, well, I'm not going to allow people to walk into my office and just bother me anytime. They're going to be taught how to work with me and set time frames. Or I'm not going to answer the phone call. I'm going to put a message on there that says, hey, if you are calling between this time and this time, I'm unavailable. I answer phone calls between 12 and 3. So if I don't reach you out, you know, now, I'll reach you between that time frame or tomorrow. But you set these parameters. And now what happens is from the parameter being set, you go to the next thing, which is awareness. Most people are not aware in the moment. They're aware in hindsight. Like, oh, crap, I probably should have told somebody I wasn't able to do that.
Right.
So what I tell people is once you have this parameter set, it's going to instantly make you aware of a situation because you're going to be in it when somebody walks in your room. You're like, oh, I already thought about this in advance. When you're aware about something, whether it's in the moment or like right after, you can now make decisions. And the awareness pops in kind of together with what's called triggers. So now you have this parameter. You have this awareness of what you want to do. It's going to trigger something quickly. So, for example, if somebody comes in and your box says, hey, these 2 hours, I talked to nobody, and they knock on your door and they walk in, I'm now aware of them walking in. The trigger is like, okay, they can't come talk to me right now. So the trigger you set for yourself, you do in advance because of the reason why you want to get your business to whatever it is. Once the trigger is set in place, your trigger sets a response. Your trigger is, hey, can't talk to you right now. The last level is the fun one, willpower. When you get to that level, it's being able to say, hey, I can't talk to you. And they're like, it's really important. I would love to hear it, but I can't. Please, I just need 5 minutes. I would love to hear it, but I can't. And what you're doing is you're basically setting this thing in yourself that says, every time I say no, I can't go back in that no. Like, I gotta have strong willpower. What's cool is the more you do it, the easier it becomes, and you're now gonna train the people around you how to operate with you. They're gonna know they can't just pop in anytime and bother you. So the more you do it in the beginning and hold your willpower down, the less likely they are to do that in the future. If you were at any point in time there to say, okay, let me hear it. Well, guess what? Next time they have a question, they're coming right back to your door. So it's setting things up in advance.
No, that's awesome. And you know, I think that's really important, especially, you know, having a family, you know, having business. My wife owns a business. I own a business. You know, the kids, and you know, you got to really start to set those boundaries or those parameters, or you're gonna be all over the place, and nothing's ever gonna get done. Nobody wants to. You can't spend time with anybody,
ever.
Things aren't working the way you want them to. So
it's like mixing food on the Thanksgiving plate. It's like everything's all over the place.
Mashed potatoes on the ham, or the turkey on the cranberry. And
what happens?
Not good, man. Cool. So, you know, let's talk about fear real fast. You know, what, you know, do you have a fear, you know, or I guess what is your major fear?
Oh man, my fear is that I don't fear things sometimes. I guess that's my weird thing. I mean, I'm afraid of like alligators, you know, like I guess I don't want to wrestle an alligator. But I think for me at the end of the day, I've learned really, really weirdly internally to have like a really specific trust. For example, my business that I had in my gym and my consulting was like, you know, 6-figure businesses. I did well in them. And in the world of fitness, I was, you know, best-selling author, been featured in the Wall Street Journal, international speaker for fitness. So it's kind of climbing the ranks. And all of a sudden I was like, I don't like it so much. And I just closed it. I literally closed my gym, and it was kind of after my mom passed. I was tied to it too. But most people are like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you have a business. You've run for 6 years. Like, it's doing well. Why would you close that to go, like, in a world I don't know? I went into the whole speaking world, and I didn't have anybody I knew in the world, like zero network. I had never had experience speaking, you know, in the realm of personal development or motivation or anything, or even coaching entrepreneurs. Like, I had no experience, but I was like, I'm just going to go do that. So that my fear is like, maybe I'm going to hurt myself and stumble somewhere because I don't fear these things.
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, learning through life that I'm not going to die. Like, and I have the ability, like I really, when I say I teach people to trust your hustle, it's because I have this creepy level of doing it. And I figure like, if anybody could teach, it's the guy that has this weird, creepy level. And so in that sense, it's trying to step back and say, my biggest fear is that I don't know if it's smart or not smart to not have fear, but really I found that it keeps me so incredibly fulfilled and happy, because that thought of being able to push forward keeps me pushing forward. It's when you decide to take a step forward, and then it's like, how do I explain? It's kind of like being on a treadmill and you're running.
Sure.
If you're running on a treadmill, all of a sudden you stop your legs for a second, your ass is going flying backwards. So for me, it's like my lack of distinct fear for some things. My legs are always going, and I feel like some people get going and then they stop on the treadmill, they shoot back, and it's like, damn, do I want to get back on the treadmill again?
Right.
And that's kind of where it works for me. But yeah, I mean, I would guess I would say I'm apprehensive of some things. I'm smart about what I go into. Like, I know that I was given the ability to speak and share. I just was wanted to kind of re-express myself somewhere. So it's not like I just blindly went, although I kind of did, but I knew innately, like, I had the skills that these other people are exhibiting to be successful. So if they have it and I have the same skills, I just have to work at it. And that's kind of what I do. And so I do have apprehension, but it's kind of calculated. And I will run all day to get stuff done the right way to be able to succeed.
No, that's awesome. And see, I knew why we'd be connected, man. I knew why I liked you, because I've always been that same way since I was little. And yeah. One of like my words, you know, Brendan talks about is for success is relentless.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just, that's just one of my words. And that's the way I've always been, just like you over the years is, and I don't know why it seems weird. People have asked me different questions, but kind of similar. It's like, I'm not really like afraid of it. I just go after it. I just go do it. And I don't be like, oh, well, okay, well, what if this doesn't happen? What if that, you know, you just do it.
Just go. I get it. I mean, for me, I think I learned that in football too. Like, you don't have time to be. I played linebacker. Yeah.
And you probably, there's some big people in the NFL.
Yeah, all day long. I got to tackle them. So I think it's a switch. The switch is off most of the time. It's like, nope. I just go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was something where, like, you kind of understand you're not going to get hurt. You're not going to die. I can go full speed and hit this guy as hard as I want. And then same thing for, I just applied it non-physically of, I'm not going to die. I'm going to go full speed, see what happens. But usually full speed helps.
Yeah. No, definitely. It for sure does. Real quick, then we got to wrap up here, is let me know one thing that you utilize from a technological standpoint that has helped help you become more successful.
Technological, I think for me, it's not being afraid of technology. I think a lot of people get to a point of like, oh, my sister, for example, sister-in-law, she is starting to do photography. And her thing is she uses something called Lightroom, and it's not the best program to edit like pictures. So she's supposed to learn Photoshop, but she was like, I don't know if I want to sit down and learn all I have to learn for Photoshop. And my thing to her was, well, you know, if you don't, you're going to get farther and farther behind. It's going to be hard to compete business-wise as you move forward. So for me, I think as we get older, sometimes we start getting afraid of technology, and we're like, we're just going to do it the old way, and this works for me now. But technologically, stay with the game. And if you get to a point of accepting that this is going to be hard, what makes it effortless? Because you're like, well, this is what I accept now. And you just move forward with that. And so technology-wise, I guess for me, like, I utilize every tool I can because it gives me a better way to get the same job done. If you're going to go and build a house, but all you have is a hammer, you can't build a house. And so for me, the tools that I learned from Facebook and Instagram and all these little tweaky, weird programs people are making in the world, I'm always tapped in. And I'll spend the time a few hours just learning it so that I know, hey, I'm going to utilize this, but I also have this tool over here and this tool over here. And if I can make this one do this, I can then create something that nobody else can create because they want to just learn this. So it's kind of more of not being afraid of technology, accepting it, and trying to see what cool thing you can make to differentiate yourself in the world by having so many more options and tools than anybody else has.
Cool. No, that's awesome. I mean, it's a great way to put it, is just – you know, a lot of times we do have that apprehension or that fear of diving into technology and moving forward and learning it. So, cool, man. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show. It's an honor to have you here.
My pleasure, man.
Shared some awesome insights and some success strategies for our listeners.
Cool.
And I'd love to help you get a link out there for let people to come find you. Where should they find out a little bit more about Anthony?
Oh, man, just go to anthonytrucks.com. Simple.
Easy. Yeah. And then when is your course launch? And if people want to come take, find out about
it'll
your
launch,
course?
It'll launch in May. It's the online portion, which is really, it's really in-depth. It's very community-based. I'm real big on interaction with people. Like, I'm going to be involved like every single day and every single week with it.
Cool.
It goes online, and then it goes live in August. August 19th, 20th, 21st of next year in the San Francisco Bay Area. So it'll be a blast. I have a lot of fun. Let's put it that way. I basically spent in the last year about $300,000 just on traveling, taking courses, really immersing myself in this world to see, one, how I can improve myself and do what I need to do, and then also, two, where are the gaps? Like, what are people not putting into their courses or programs and everything? So I've spent so much time learning it to where I want to bring something to the world that fills in so many gaps, one, in how the person develops, but also, like, what's missing in a small way to make all these courses and everything so much more engaging, fun, and applicable. So much stuff is hard to put into action because nobody's really going the extra mile to create ways to make the person, allow the person to put it into their lives. So that's real big on what I'm creating.
Awesome. Anthony, thanks again. It was an honor to have you on Making Bank.
Pleasure.
Hey, guys, get out, check out Anthony's website, anthonytrucks.com, and start applying some of these success strategies. Make sure you took notes today. If not, go back and watch this video again. Don't forget to share, like, and share this. And again, thank you for watching Making Bank. I am Josh Felber. Get out and be extraordinary.
Making Bank is also available for download on iTunes and Stitcher. See the link in the description below.